The History of Wedding Customs, Part 2, Marriage Bonds, the Wedding Cake, and Throwing Shoes at the Bride. Marriage bands, or bonds, because it's spelled B-A-N-N-S. During the European feudal times, all public announcements concerning deaths, taxes, and births were called bonds. Today we use the term exclusively for an announcement that two people propose to marry. That interpretation began as a result of an order by Charlemagne, king of the Franks, who on Christmas Day in 800 AD was crowned Emperor of the Romans, marking the birth of the Holy Roman Empire. Charlemagne, with a vast region to rule, had a practical medical reason for instituting marriage bonds. Among rich and poor alike, a child's parentage was not always clear. An extramarital indiscretion could lead to a half-brother and a half-sister marrying, and frequently did. Charlemagne, alarmed by the high rate of sibling marriages and the subsequent genetic damage to the offspring, issued an edict throughout his unified kingdom. All marriages were to be publicly proclaimed at least 7 days prior to the ceremony. To avoid consanguinity between the prospective bride and the groom, any person with information that the man or woman were related as brother or sister or as half-siblings was ordered to come forth. The practice proved so successful that it was widely endorsed by all faiths. Well, we got to go back to ancient Rome for our wedding cake. The wedding cake is not always eaten by the bride. It was originally thrown at her. It developed as one of the many fertility symbols integral in the marriage ceremony. For until modern times, children were expected to follow marriage as faithfully as night follows day, and almost as frequently. Wheat, long a symbol of fertility and prosperity, was one of the earliest grains to ceremoniously shower new brides, and the unmarried young woman was expected to scramble for the grains to ensure her own betrothals as they do today for the bridal bouquet. Early Roman bakers, whose confectionery skills were held in higher regard, altered the practice. Around 100 BCE, they began baking the wedding wheat into small sweet cakes to be eaten, not thrown. Wedding guests, however, loath to abandon the fun of pelting the bride with wheat confetti, now tossed the cakes. According to the Roman poet and philosopher Lucretius, author of De Rerum Naturale, or The Nature of Things, a compromise ritual developed in which the wheat cakes were crumbled over a bride's head. As a symbol of further fertility, the couple was required to eat a portion of the crumbs, a custom known as conferatio, or eating together. After exhausting the supply of cakes, guests were presented with handfuls of the confetto, sweetmeats, a confectionery-like mixture of nuts, dried fruits, and honeyed almonds. The practice of eating crumbs of small wedding cakes spread throughout Western Europe. In England, the crumbs were washed down with a special ale. The brew itself was referred to as the bride-eolu, or the bride's ale, which evolved into the word bridal. The wedding cake rite, in which the tossed food symbolized an abundance of offspring, changed during the lean times in the early Middle Ages. Raw wheat and rice were once again showered on a bride. The once decorative cakes began to become simpler biscuits or scones to be eaten. The guests were encouraged to bake their own biscuits and bring them to the ceremony. Leftovers were then distributed amongst the poor. Ironically, it was these austere practices that with time and ingenuity and the French contempt for all things British led to the most opulent of wedding adornments, the multi-layered cake. The legend is this. Throughout the British Isles, it had become customary to pile the contributed scones, biscuits, and other baked goods one on top of the other in an enormous heap. The higher the better, for height augured prosperity for the couple, who exchanged kisses over the mound. In the 1660s, during the reign of King Charles II, a French chef, whose name unfortunately is lost to history, was visiting London and observed the cake-piling ceremony. Appalled at the haphazard manner in which the British stacked baked goods, often they have them tumble to the floor, he conceived the idea of transforming the mound of bland biscuits into an iced, multi-tiered cake sensation. British papers of the day are supposed to have deplored the French excess, but before the close of the century, British bakers were offering the same magnificent creation. Then we have the custom of throwing shoes at the bride. Now, today, old shoes are tied to newlyweds' cars, and no one asks why. Why, of all things, shoes? And why old shoes? Originally, the shoes were only one of many objects tossed at a bride to wish her a bounty of children. In fact, shoes were preferred over the equally traditional wheat and rice because from ancient times, the foot was a powerful phallic symbol. In several cultures, particularly amongst the Eskimo, a woman experiencing difficulty in conceiving was instructed to carry a piece of an old shoe with her all the time. The preferred shoes for throwing at a bride and later for tying to the newlywed's car were old ones strictly for economic reasons. Shoes have never been inexpensive. Thus, the throwing of shoes, rice, cake crumbs, and confetti, as well as the origin of the wedding cake, are all expressions of a fruitful union. It is not without irony that in our age, with such strong emphasis on delayed childbearing and family planning, the modern wedding ceremony is full of customs meant to induce maximum fertility. Well, let's go one step further. Let's take them on the honeymoon. Now, there's a vast difference between the original meaning of honeymoon and its present-day connotation, a blissful, much-sought solution as prelude to married life. The words antecedent, the ancient Norse hanyatsmonyar, as we'll see, cynical in its meaning, and the seclusion it bespeaks of was one anything but blissful. When a man from a northern European community abducted a bride from a neighboring village, it was imperative that he take her into hiding for a period of time. Friends bade him safety, and his whereabouts were known only to the best man. When the bride's family abandoned their search, he returned to his own people. At least that is a popular explanation offered by folklorists for the origin of the honeymoon. Honeymoon meant hiding. For couples whose affections were mutual, the daily chores and hardships of village life did not allow them the luxury of days or weeks of blissful idleness. The Scandinavian word for honeymoon derives in part from an ancient Northern European custom. Newlyweds for the first month of married life drank a daily cup of honeyed wine called mead. Both the drink and the practice of stealing brides are part of the history of Attila, the king of the Asiatic Huns, from AD 433 to 453. The warrior guzzled tankards of alcohol at his marriage in 450 to the Roman princess Honoria, sister of the emperor Valentinian III. Attila abducted her from a previous marriage and claimed her for his own. 3 years later, at another feast, Attila's unquenchable passion for mead led to an excessive consumption that induced vomiting, stupor, coma, and ultimately, his death. While the honey in the word honeymoon derives straightforwardly from the honey wine mead, the moon stems from a cynical inference. To Northern Europeans, the term moon connotated the celestial body's monthly cycle. Its combination with honey suggested that all moons or months of married life were not as sweet as the first. During the 16th and 17th centuries, British prose writers and poets frequently employed the Nordic interpretation of honeymoon as a waxing and waning of marital affection. Now we have one more marriage customs next time, and I'm going to throw in a little divorce background at the end. Now the source for this is Panati's Extraordinary Origins of Almost Everything. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.